G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Last week, we started looking at our new church mission statement, bringing life to people. And well, it's not really that new. We've always had that, bringing life to people, but what we've done is we've tweaked it so we can unpack the life part of it. And so this month is all about, well, what is it to bring life to people? We've got our life build month where we're looking at buildings and that sort of thing. But bringing life to people is not just about buildings. It's actually about the people. And so that's why we thought it would be really great to spend this month unpacking this new understanding of what it is to bring life. And so we've got our loved, included, free, and equipped. And last week we heard about loved. The first part of bringing life and receiving life is to know that we're loved, just simply as that. We're loved by God. And Jeff unpacked that for us, and you can grab that on the podcast if you want to. But we're going to move on and we're going to look at our next letter, included. Because when we have life in God, we are included. We're included in his plans. We're included in so much. But what is it that we're included? You know, we know we're included into something, but what is it? And what does it mean then to be included? You know, if you're included in something, well, what does that actually mean? Does it have implications for me? And then how does it influence the way that then I live my life and live out of these new things? And how do I live to bring life to the people around me? So we're going to unpack included with seven words and seven little snapshots associated with those words from the Bible to hear how we can be included in God's story. I've got snapshots of different people in different places, different times. And so there should be something for everyone that you can identify with, that you can go, yeah, that kind of makes sense to me. Because I really believe that it's going to encourage you. Encourage you to know how you are included and then how you can respond to include other people in this thing called life that we have. Okay, you ready? Jeff's ready. I've got one person ready. You got to do a bit of Bible flipping today. So let's start in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. Our first word is invited. We are invited to be part of Jesus' story. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, fishing with a net, for they were commercial fishermen. Jesus called out to them, "Come, be my disciples, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and went with him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them to come too. That's our first part. We're invited. Jesus invites us. You know, Jesus saw these fishermen just going about life, just doing what fishermen do on the side of the lake, and he said, come, follow me. He invited them into his world. Jesus did not need disciples. He, in order to save the world, he was quite capable of doing his mission and saving the world without other people. But he invited the disciples to come on that journey with him, to come and see what the heart of God is, to come and know how they can be a part of this as well. And so he simply invited them. And it's no different for us as well. Jesus extends an invitation to us, for us to be a part of his story, for us to go on that journey with him, for us to learn how we are loved and to know all these things about him. And that is simply the first part of being included, is that Jesus just invites us. We are invited. And because we're invited, then we can extend that invitation to other people. We can let them know that Jesus invites them and Jesus longs for them to be part of this journey. We're invited, and so we can then invite others. So that's our first word. Our second word is connected. We are connected to something bigger than ourselves. So this story, we flip back into Joshua in chapter 2. And it's set just as Joshua is about to lead the Israelites into this land that God had promised them. And so he sends some spies into Jericho, which is the main city they need to conquer, to kind of suss it all out. So it says in Joshua chapter 2, "Then Joshua secretly sent out two spies from the Israelite camp at Acacia. He instructed them, 'Spy out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho.' So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there that night. Someone told the king of Jericho, 'Some Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land.' He jumped down. Now Rahab, she hid those two men. And then in verse 8 says, 'Before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up to the roof to talk with them. 'I know the Lord has given you this land,' she told them. 'We are all afraid of you. Everyone is living in terror, for we have heard.'" What have they heard? They heard about this God who's taken his people and are moving across to bring them into the promised land. They'd heard about the miracles as they came out of Egypt. They'd heard about the crossing the Red Sea. They'd heard about how he had sustained them over 40 years in the wilderness. And they'd heard that now they'd come to the place that was to be their promised land. They were scared. And Rahab continued, "For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below. Now swear to me by the Lord that you will be kind to me and my family since I have helped you. Give me some guarantee that when Jericho is conquered, you will let me live along with my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all their families." What a bold move for this woman. She doesn't belong to God's family. She's not one of his. She's not an Israelite. But what a bold move that she could think that somehow she could be connected to this story. You know, she recognized that Israel was part of a bigger picture. She recognized that Israel was a part of a bigger God. She probably worshipped something, but now in this situation, she saw that there was something bigger and she wanted to be connected to that. And so she took this risk and harbored these spies and then had the boldness to say, "Protect me. Because I have helped you." Did I know that, like, she knew that the city would be conquered. She knew that this God would prevail. And so she took the risk and she said, "I believe that your God is everything. Can you protect me? Can you connect me into your story?" And she did. She became connected completely with God's story. She became, in fact, a part of the genealogy of Jesus. This woman who was not an Israelite, intimately connected into the story of God. And that is what it is for us. When we are included, we are connected. It doesn't matter what our background is. It doesn't matter where we've come from. None of that matters. She took a step of faith to be connected to God's story. And that's all it takes from us as well, is just a step of faith to go, "I know that you are God Almighty and I want to be connected to your story." That's our second word. To be included is to be connected. So why don't we help others as well? Why don't we help others to get connected into God's story? They don't need to be left out. No one needs to be left out of this thing. So why don't we help them to get connected? Okay, number three, welcomed. We are welcomed into God's world, into God's story. We're not we're not just accessories. We're actually welcomed into this story. So let's go here to John chapter 13. Now in Israel at this time, one of the signs of hospitality as you invited people into your home would be to provide water for practical purposes, washing your feet, and often a servant to carry that out. So here's a picture we have in John 13. And their Passover is prepared. The disciples have got the table ready. And now they're at the table. It was time for supper. And Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything and that he had come from God and would return to God. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, wrapped a towel around his waist and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel he had around him. When Jesus washes his disciples' feet at this point, he was showing them utmost hospitality to them. This was his table. This was the Last Supper, the place where he ate the last meal with his disciples before he was crucified. This is the table where he was going to pour out his heart to them and you know, let them into the secrets of what was going on. And it's to this table that he not only invited his disciples, but then he welcomed them. He provided that water to wash their feet. And he provided, he was the servant to do that for them. When I see that picture, I just see a picture of an incredibly welcoming God. Someone who not only just designates that job to be done someone else, but someone who bends down himself on his hands and knees and welcomes his friends to his table and washes the feet himself. You know, Jesus goes on and does more than that for us. He washes us completely, inside and out, by his blood when he died on the cross. He welcomes us into life with him. To be included is to be welcomed. And how better to express our thanks for that than to welcome other people into that as well. When people come into this building, you know, our welcome team, they do. We call them that for that actual reason, that they would welcome, that they would be people that would be that first point of contact to welcome people into God's house, to show that he welcomes them. And so as we welcome people, that we would reflect that heart of God for what he does, that he would wash their feet and then wash them with his blood. Number four, team. We are team. We are living, we're serving together as team. When we get included into this life of Jesus, we can become team. If you flip over to Romans 12, verse 4, it's described like this. It says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of his one body and each of us has different work to do. And since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other and each of us needs all the others. We need each other. We need each other in the team. You can't have a team with these kind of dislocated individuals. A team needs each other and functions together and works together. And in this passage in Romans, Paul is reminding the Christians in Rome that they're being drawn into God's team. They're part of what he's doing and that they need to work out how to do that together. That not one person does everything, but each person has a little part. And so just like, you know, some are pastors and some are worship leaders and some are welcomers and some in hospitality, we're all part of a team that together we're included into this mission that God has for us to bring life to people. But the cool thing is that we don't just kind of sign up. We're actually chosen. Like when you're in school and the captains are out there selecting the team. Well, we're the first ones chosen. He chooses us all. And no one has to miss out. And no one has to be the 12th man and sit on the sidelines or whatever it is in other sports. Because every single person on this team gets to play. Every single person gets to kick a goal and see amazing things happen. Every single person gets to participate. And it doesn't matter if it's public or if it's private, because it can be in that space of prayer that you are binding that team together more than anything else. To be included is to be team, to know that we're going the same direction, to have the same goal, to be committed as a team player, and on top of that, to bring out the best in each other. When we're on a team, we encourage, we build up, we cheer them on. And that's what it is to be part of God's team. But we are more than just team. Our fifth word is family, because we are part of God's family, not just a team. And if you come to this story in Ruth, it is such an amazing story of being drawn into God's family and protected by him. Ruth chapter 2, it talks about this girl, Ruth, who's a widow. She's lost a husband. She is traveled back with her mother-in-law, who's also lost her husband, and come back into this land of the Israelites. And she's from Moab. She's not by blood related to any of these people. She leaves them and she's earning an income and finds herself in the field of a man called Boaz, who then welcomes her and blesses her and looks after her. And it says, Ruth fell at his feet and thanked him warmly. "Why are you being so kind to me?" she asks. "I am only a foreigner." "Yes, I know," Boaz replied, "but I also know about the love and kindness you have shown your mother-in-law since the death of your husband. I have heard how you left your father and mother and your own land to live here among complete strangers. May the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge, reward you fully." Ruth left everything. She even left behind those, you know, the gods that she would have worshipped, to worship the God of Naomi, the God of the Israelites. And as she left that behind, she was taking a step of faith, because she didn't know what she was going to go into and she didn't know if she would be welcome there or belong there. But she is embraced as she took that step of faith to belong to him, to belong to God. God included her in his family. He drew her in and he did protect her. He caused things to work out for her and she ended up marrying this man, Boaz. And because of her faith and her trust in this God that she was getting to know, she actually became included into his family. Ruth actually became in the genealogy of Jesus. It's through Ruth that we find, you know, David's great-grandmother or something like that. And what I love is this sentence where it says, she says, "Why are you being so kind? I'm only a foreigner." You know, in Ephesians, there's an echo of that. It says, even though we were once strangers and foreigners to God, even though we were like Ruth, we didn't know him. It says, "You are now citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family." And just like Ruth became one of God's family, so too, we don't say strangers and foreigners to God, but He draws us into His family. We're included and honored just as Ruth was. She received a place in Israel's history, and we can take that place as well. We can take that place in God's family and be part of the story that He has for us. To be included is to be part of family. And just as we were honored, so we honor as well. We honor people, anyone who follows and worships our Lord God. As they come into His family, no matter who they are, no matter what background they've come from, just as God has accepted them and God embraces them in His family, so do we as well. That's what it is to be included. Number six, in Jesus, we have a home. I love that song we sung. I hope we can sing that at the end. We can sing that. It's such a good song. Just, we're home. In Jesus, we have a home. John 14. You know, Jesus Himself says, there are many rooms in My Father's home, and I am going to prepare a place for you. If this were not so, I would not tell you plainly. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with Me where I am, and you know where I am going and how to get there. This picture, when Jesus is sharing this heart, it's around that same table, that table that He invited His disciples to, where He washed their feet, and He just wanted to pour out to them His thoughts and His heart before He went to the cross. And that's what it is. He said, you know, the purpose of Me coming here is that I want you to come home with Me. I don't want you to be separated from Me anymore, but you belong in My home. And so I'm going to go back and I'm going to prepare that home for you. We can have that home with Him. Ultimately, that's, you know, our home in heaven. But on top of that, God says this in Revelation. He says, I heard a shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among His people. He will live with them and they will be His people. God Himself will be with them. Home is not just about heaven. It's not just about when we're going to get there, but home is also about the very presence of God making His home in us personally and together as well. That God's heart is not that He would just be up in heaven on a throne, but that actually His throne would be in our lives and in our hearts and in our bodies. And that we would be home when we have the presence of God, His Holy Spirit dwelling in us. That's what it is to be included, to find a home in Christ, a home where we are in God's presence, which can be this house, but also a home where His presence can dwell in us. And that's, you know, that's part of how we want this whole life build thing to be outworking. Is that this house of God, these four walls or whatever it is, that it's not just a building that we sing songs and we hear messages and we kind of have a nice time together, but it can actually be a sense of home where when people walk in, that they can know that they have met God, their Maker, the One who really is their Father, that they can walk into this house and that they can feel home, and then they can have that home in their heart where God would live too. So we have, what are our words? We're invited, connected, we're team, we're family, we're home. But last of all, the best word of all, is we're embraced. We're embraced by the Father. And in John 17, it says this. This is Jesus' prayer, His own prayer for us. My prayer for all of them is that they will be one just as you and I are one, Father. That just as you are in me and I am in you, so they will be in us and the world will believe you sent me. You know, it's not just that we're invited. It's not just that we're connected in this life. It's not just that we're welcomed or team or family or home, but we're also embraced. That God himself would embrace us. He longs us to be completely in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's his prayer for us. As he was preparing to leave, that's what he asked God. He said, this is what I long for, that the three of them would embrace us and that our hearts would beat in time with his. Like just as in embrace, where you feel the heartbeat of the person that you are close to and you can feel that would be the same as when we're embraced by God, that we would feel his heartbeat. We would know what he cares about, what he's passionate about, what he's, you know, grieving over and celebrating over and longing for. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, it's at that point that the world will believe you sent me. When we are like that, when we are completely embraced by God, then people will see who Jesus is. They will know who Jesus is. They will know his heart. They will know his love. They will know that he brings life to people because that's what people will see in us. When our heart is beating so in time with God, then people will see Jesus, who he sent, because we're just so caught up in it. That's the ultimate expression of being included, to be embraced by God, and then to extend this embrace to the world around us, that by extending that, we'd actually enable God's heartbeat to reverberate outside of these walls and into the city and beyond our city, so that the very heart of God would be known and that the person of Jesus would be known. That's what it is to be included and to be embraced. And that's our mission at C3 Bathurst, to bring life to people, to know that we're loved, to know that we're included, to know that we're free and equipped, and I'm so looking forward to finding out more of those. But as we've looked at being included today, I hope you got a sense of who you are in God, that you are included, and that our purpose beyond that is to then include others into this story. So I really hope that you can take hold of this unpacking. You know, each bit that we're unpacking, it so that we can kind of express more who we are, not just be a club, but actually to be the church of God, living out this life that Jesus has given us. To take hold of inviting others, connecting them and welcoming them into his house. Take hold of helping people to become team and family, and to find a home for life. Help them to be held in the embrace of God the Father, of his Son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.